Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 14, which is dealing with entering the combat zone, battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our objectives are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verses from memory. You're going to be able to define the word strategy. You'll be able to define the word counter-strategy and explain the strategies of Satan, which combine the evil forces of the world and the flesh, and identify the spiritual counter-strategies for victory over the world and the flesh. Our key verses are found in the Articles of War, and they are Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Introduction. You have answered the call to arms and have been inducted into God's army. You have studied about the enemy, strategy, and territory. You have learned about God's battle plan and have been armed with defensive and offensive weapons. With this lesson, you actually enter the combat zone and begin to fight. This chapter is the first in a series which focuses on Satan's strategies and scriptural counter-strategies for overcoming his deceptive tactics. Strategies are the science of forming and carrying out military operations. They are the methods or plans which lead to victory. Satan's strategies. Satan has organized methods aimed at gaining victory over believers. This is what Paul means when he refers to the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles means crafty or deceitful. Satan's wiles are crafty, deceitful strategies of attack. God's counter-strategies. The believer is not left defenseless in the face of enemy attack. It is written in the Word of God that he has provided a manual of strategies for spiritual warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The word devices means thoughts or purposes. The Bible contains counter strategies for overcoming all the power of the enemy. The word counter means to act in opposition to hinder, to defeat, or to frustrate. In the spirit world, a counter strategy is an organized plan and method of opposition to Satan. It is designed to hinder, defeat, and frustrate his wiles and devices. In the next few chapters are organized by strategies and counter-strategies. The strategies of Satan in specific areas of spiritual warfare are discussed first in each chapter. Specific spiritual counter-strategies for victory are then presented. In this lesson, you will study how the world and the flesh function together in spiritual warfare and the counter-strategies for overcoming these evil forces. Strategies of Satan, the world, and the flesh. You learned in chapter 7 that the world and the flesh are in enemy territory, and Satan works through the world. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Satan is the prince of this world, and as its prince, he influences the governments of nations. He's described as the deceiver of nations in Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, and Daniel chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 10 identifies a demonic power over the nation of Persia working to prevent Daniel's prayer. Satan is as a roaring lion in the world. 2 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The picture of a roaring lion illustrates the open terror tactics Satan uses. But Satan is also described as an angel of light. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So this describes Satan as alluring and appealing in more subtle, seeker type of attack. So Satan works both openly and secretly in the world. Satan's activities are varied in the world, but they're always directed against God, his plan, and his people. Satan opposes God's work in the world. This is quite evident in the rebellion and fall from heaven, which you already studied in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. And Satan opposes the work of Jesus in the world. He is behind the Antichrist spirit of the world. 2 John chapter 7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Satan also opposes the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to guide men and women into the truth of the Word of God. Satan tries to keep the Word of God from influencing the hearts and lives of men and women. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan afflicts and tempts believers in the world. We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." And also in Job chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." Satan deceives the world through spiritual wickedness in high places. This is how he works in the religious structure of the world. He deceives through false doctrine, ministers, teachers, apostles, and religions. Satan also wages warfare against believers who are in but not of the world. You could read about this warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Satan accuses and slanders believers. And it says in Revelations chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So he plants doubts in the minds of believers. This is part of the first temptation of man, which we found in the Garden of Eden. And that's in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Satan incites persecution of believers in the world. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye may be tried." So Satan tries to prevent the believer from effective Christian service. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." So Satan uses the appeal of the world to entice believers to sin. He tempts through the worldly atmosphere and environment and the system around you, and he encourages a love of the world in your heart. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him within him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Satan wars against mind, the tongue, the spirit, the body, and the spiritual walls of believers. He attacks through family and associates, finances and circumstances. You'll learn more about these specific areas of attack in other chapters. The names of Satan also reveal his strategies in the world. You study the names of Satan in Chapter 5 of this course. Review these and think about how each name reflects the strategies of Satan in the world today. Satan works through the flesh. The body, the soul, and the spirit of man are closely related. Because of this, Satan accesses the soul and spirit through the flesh. This strategy is evident in the first temptation of man. Eve saw the tree was good for food, which is taste, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree is to be desired to make one wise. She took of it and gave it to her husband, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and Satan used fleshly senses and desires to gain access to Eve's soul and spirit. If Satan cannot blind your mind and keep you from accepting the truth of the gospel, then he tries to keep you in bondage in the flesh after you receive the gospel. Fleshly lusts war against the soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Satan uses the flesh to affect the mind. In Romans chapter 7, verse 23, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. My members refers to the flesh, and Satan uses the flesh to affect the spirit. In 2 Corinthians, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Satan uses the flesh to cause you to reap corruption, which is rottenness and perversion in your life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, for he that soweth of to his flesh shall reap of his flesh reap corruption. In Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul deals with sins of the flesh, in the context of the old man and the new man, he inserts this warning. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, never give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. This warning indicates that you are to commit, that when you commit these fleshly sins, you are to give place, literally a claim, to Satan in your life. Continued willful indulgence to fleshly sins can result into bondage to Satan. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, Satan also works through demons. As you're going to learn later in this chapter, a born-again believer cannot be possessed by Satan as long as he remains a true believer. Possession by Satan involves control of body, soul, spirit, conduct, and thought. But if a believer continues to practice fleshly sins, and there comes a time where his practice may move from a sin of the flesh to a sin controlled by satanic demonic activity. How they work together. The world, the flesh, and the devil with his demons combine their evil forces to war against believers. Each force can operate independently against the believer, but these forces of evil are most often combined in the attack upon believers. Satan uses the world with its illusions, charms, philosophies, and ungodly systems to gain access to the flesh. He uses the flesh to gain access to the soul, mind, and spirit. Then he tries to conform you to the world rather than to God. Spiritual counter-strategies overcoming the flesh. The world, the flesh, and the devil certainly create a threatening combat zone, but here are some powerful scriptural counter-strategies to overcome these forces. The first one is for you to go ahead and present your body as a sacrifice. In the military forces of the natural world, a man who enlists for the service comes under the complete control of his superiors. They give him instructions on how to conduct himself, how to dress, and how to combat the enemy. To be effective in spiritual warfare, the same type of control must be put into action. We find that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So you must present yourself to God as an act of your own will. In the Old Testament, when a sacrifice was given to God, a person was offered, who offered it, had no further control over it. It was given totally to the Lord. So instead of conforming to the world and the flesh, you must be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. You will study more about the battle of the mind in chapter 15. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. The renewing of your mind is done by arming yourself with the same mind as Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it says, "For so much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." You want to develop the proper attitude towards your flesh. We are told that we should hate even the garments spotted by the flesh in Jude 23. You should understand that the lust of the flesh is not of the Father, but of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You should have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "And have no confidence in the flesh." You must understand that life in the flesh brings corruption, while life in the Spirit brings life. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." Realize you do not have to be in bondage to the flesh. In the times past, you were in bondage to the flesh when you were a sinner. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And in Romans chapter 7, verses 5 through 6, it says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." So as you study Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans 8, you're going to discover that you no longer have to be in bondage to the flesh. Your freedom comes through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Train your flesh to obey. In the military world, the soldier must obey all orders. He goes through basic training to learn the rules of warfare. He is given trial situations where he must put these strategies in action, and he learns through failure and success. He is in training for war. This is also true in the spiritual world. You must train your flesh to obey. You must learn God's rules through trials God permits in your life, so you have opportunity to put these rules into action. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." And in Job chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." So in the natural world, a soldier learns the right and wrong responses in military strategy. Through repeated troop exercises, you can train through study of your warfare manual, the Bible. And as you exercise or train your spiritual senses, you will learn to discern between good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, it says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So you must train your flesh to obey God's word. You do not conquer your flesh by giving in to it, and God reveals fleshly areas of your life that you must take action on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." In Romans chapter 13, 14, it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Note that you must take action. You must abstain from fleshly lust. You must cleanse yourself of the filthiness of the flesh. You must not make provisions for the flesh. So you want to put off the old man. The old man refers to the flesh nature. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. It says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Put your flesh to death. The flesh must be crucified. It will not die a natural death. You must crucify it by refusing to be controlled by it. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." And in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20, it says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then finally in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Walk in the Spirit. Your daily walk and how you live can be controlled by Satan working through your flesh, the world, or demon powers, if you permit it. You do not have to be controlled by the world, the flesh, or the devil. You can learn to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So to walk in the Spirit means to let God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, control your life and your conduct and life. The flesh is not more powerful than the Spirit. If you let the Holy Spirit manifest His power in you, He will quicken your mortal body of flesh. To quicken means to endue with life. You do not have to live in the death of sin. God can quicken your spirit to new life. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 14, it says this, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth within you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So to be led by the Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit within you. You must be born again by the Spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 6 through 7, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So ye must also be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the power to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. An entire Harvest Time International course is devoted to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. You are studying the Institute courses in a suggested order, and this is the next course you're going to take when you complete the manual. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of the Holy Spirit in overcoming the world and the flesh and the devil. Through the Holy Spirit, you can be led by the Spirit instead of the flesh. Let your spirit speak by the Holy Spirit. God communicates to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14, it says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Holy Spirit can also communicate directly to God from your spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." So when you speak in an unknown tongue, which is the physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2, your spirit is communicating directly to God. When this happens, one of the important functions of the Holy Spirit is to pray according to the will of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In contrast to the works of the flesh, develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and this includes, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is discussed in detail in the Harvest International Institute course, Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do not live in condemnation. Satan used the weakness of the flesh to make you live in condemnation. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." If you fail to engage in the fleshly conduct, but remain in condemnation, repent and ask for forgiveness. In 1 John 1, 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Spiritual counter-strategies, overcoming the world. Here are some guidelines for overcoming the world. First off, you want to develop a proper attitude towards the world. Recognize that you're not of the world. According to John chapter 17, 14 through 16, it says, "And I have given them thy word, and the word hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Also, we find in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, it says, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Understand that you will experience tribulation in the world. John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Realize that gaining the world is not worth losing your soul. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And in Luke chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "For what is man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" realize that if you love the world, you're an enemy of God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And in James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." So you want to recognize the temporal nature of this world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, it says, "For the fashion of this world passeth away." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So you want to recognize that you're not in bondage to the world. As a believer, you do not have to be in bondage to the world system. Although in the past you were governed by the present world, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says you are no longer in this bondage. We find that here. It says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, it teaches that you are no longer need to be conformed to this world. You can be transformed or changed. You are part of a new kingdom now, and you are a resident of the kingdom of God, and you are no longer under the power of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." You could study more about your liberty in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Another thing we need to do is guard against the world. Now that you're free from the world, set a guard against its influence in your life. Do not pattern your life after the rudiments or basic principles of this world. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ." Do not love the world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Do not let yourself be spoiled by the philosophies of the world. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You want to deny the worldly lusts. According to Titus chapter 2, verse 12, this is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You want to keep yourself unspotted from the world. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world." You want to crucify the power of the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Crucifixion is an unnatural death, like the flesh. The power of the world in your life will not die a natural death. You must forcibly crucify it. Recognize that you can overcome the world. Do not let the cares of this world destroy the work of the Word of God in your life. This wearying away with the cares of the world is one of the strategies of the Antichrist spirit. Jesus said in chapter John, verses 16 through 33. It says, "And be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You can overcome the world because Jesus dwells within you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is of the world." So you can't escape the corruption of this world. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust." You overcome the world by the new birth and your faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You overcome the world by the blood of Jesus and your testimony. Revelation chapter 12, 11 says, "You overcome the world," it says, "and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And finally, understand your mission in the world. You are not affected by the world, but you are to affect the world. The believer should be a light in a world of darkness, reflecting the glory of God and sharing the good news of the gospel. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world." The impact of the early believers on the world was so great that it was said that they turned the world upside down, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 6. As soldiers in the army sent on a mission in a foreign nation, believers are in a special mission of God in the world. They have been instructed, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Hey, and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.